Thank you, Carol. Matthew chapter 22 is a parable that shows us how much Jesus cares, how much God loves us. It's a parable that teaches about how to get into heaven. As Christians, we come and we hear God's word and we know how to get to heaven. We're already saved. Maybe there's someone here who's not, but you know, even whenever we are already saved and we hear stories of how to get saved, even though we've already been saved, it's just a blessing to us again over and over to hear what God has done to make heaven possible for us. And today we see a parable that Jesus gave about the kingdom of heaven and a wedding feast that the king gave for his son. And as we look at this, before we look at these verses, let's look at, this will be our outline of where we're headed today. Attending the marriage and the availability of the garment, appearance of the garment, and absence of the garment. Can you imagine after church, if you go to a restaurant today and you go and there's somebody at the door says, sorry, you don't have on a red tie, you can't come in. Or you don't have on a dress, you can't come in. Being denied admission because you weren't dressed properly. Well, here at this wedding, there's a wedding and someone's denied because didn't meet the dress code to come to the wedding, and there's a dress code in order to get into heaven. This parable teaches us, among other things there, and we'll see that in a little bit. But there's a marriage supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, and verse 7 of chapter 19 says, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's the church, the bride of Christ, has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Here's the clothing for the bride, clean and white. And for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So there's the garment. We don't get in unless we're righteous. And so anyone who's not righteous is going to be denied. We'll talk about how to get righteous in a little bit there. And he said to me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And in this parable that we read earlier in our scripture reading, that we'll see, there were many called, but some didn't go. They went their own way. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll see what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. Father, we thank you for the parables of the scripture. Indeed, the word of God, Jesus is teaching a very important lesson to the people here. Help us that we will be sure not to miss the message that he has for us. And as we share the gospel with others, we pray that you would help us, that this might equip us better to be able to share with others how they can come into the kingdom of God as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so when we think about, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you might have, especially down at the beach, they might have signs up that says, shirts required or something like that, some kind of requirement. And we think about rags of sin. And that's what we have. We are sinners. And we certainly think, well, nobody's going to get into heaven if they're just such a wicked, sinful person. And those kinds of clothes are obviously not good enough. They're filthy. But then you think about some flimsy clothes as well, clothes of self-righteousness that people try to put on thinking that they might be able to get in, but it's not going to work. Or some people like maybe black tie events. You know, you've got to wear your best. You've got to wear the bow tie. You've got to really look as sharp as you can for a formal occasion. And they will try to dress up in religion, thinking that if they do all of this and all of that and dot all their I's and cross all their T's just right, you know, and look just right on the outside, that'll do it. But that won't do it either. And so it's not with the outward appearance. And so Jesus is teaching here about attending this marriage. And there's the purpose of the wedding. It tells us in verse 2 that the king made a marriage for his son. Now that's not exactly the way we do marriages here in America, is it? We all know that the wedding is for the bride. Well, the groom's there too, and he gets married, you know, but we know what the wedding is for. It's for the bride there. But not in the biblical days and not the teaching here. He is making a marriage for his son there. And as he's getting this wedding together, it says in verse 3, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come. Come to the marriage there. And so we see the preparation for the marriage there. He said, everything's ready. I have killed my oxen. And remember when David was approached to marry the daughter of King Saul. David, in his humility, said, I am of the smallest tribe of Israel, and I'm not worthy. And David knew that he didn't have the money to provide the dowry that was needed to give, especially for the daughter of a king. And in those days, of course, they had the dowry that must be paid, and now we see that the dowry has been paid there. And God paid that with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made the preparation. Everything is ready, it tells us in verse 4. It says, all things are ready. And all we have to do is come. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful message of love that God has this wedding for us. And he invites us to come. But there were some there that had presumptions about the marriage. It says in verse 5, they made light of it. That is, they were very apathetic about it. They really weren't concerned at all. You know, and we see that in our society today, don't we? We see people that you give them the gospel, you tell them that they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell, but it doesn't mean that much to them. And maybe they don't believe it. Maybe they say they know it's true and they need to do it later, but for whatever reason, they made light of it there. Notice what it says they did in verse 5. It says they went their way. People today will make light of the invitation to salvation. It says they went their ways. And that's what Isaiah says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And so the invitation was to come to the wedding and be a part of this. They said, I'm going to go my way. It's not that big of a deal. You know, I don't believe in hell. A loving God would never send somebody to hell. And they made light of it and went their own way. But also there are some people today, even maybe Christians, that can make light not of the invitation to salvation, but if we're not careful, we can make light of the possession of salvation. The author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape? And it's written to Christians. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So it's possible for Christians to get apathetic about the things of God and not be that concerned about Bible study, not be that concerned about attending the corporal fellowship of the saints like they did in the book of Acts. We can become apathetic to the things of God as well. You know, if we get to the place in our lives where we really don't enjoy the Word of God, we don't enjoy the songs of the faith, if we don't enjoy hearing God's Word, then maybe we've grown a little apathetic to the things of God. We are making light of those things. But then it's also possible for people, believers, to make light of the chastening in salvation. Proverbs 3:11 says this, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That is, don't make light of it. Whenever we as God's children, if we stray away from the Lord, He will chasten us because He loves us. And His chastening is always to bring us back. If a person lives in sin and strays away, and there's no chastening of the Lord, Hebrews says that if that's the case, it says we're bastards and not sons. It says that we are illegitimate. We're really not God's children there if we sin willfully and there's no chastening, because God does chasten His children, and we don't make light of His chastening. When God's hand chastens us, it should be like when our parents chasten us. It should draw us back to the Lord. And so here we see attending the marriage. They are a wonderful opportunity they had. It was going to be a feast, a banquet. A person would have to be foolish not to attend when everything was ready and all he had to do was go and everything was prepared. And now there's a garment that is prepared for him. In verse 11, when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there that had not on a wedding garment. Why didn't he have on the garment? Well, let's look at some of these verses. It's available to all. Verse 9, after he had sent out the invitation and several people made light of it, he said to his servants, go therefore unto the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid, invite them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all as many as they found. Notice this, both bad and good. Aren't you glad to know that you can be bad and still get into heaven? Because how many good are there? We're all bad. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. And so here they're going out, and the invitation is to all. Others had rejected salvation. They had rejected the invitation. They had made light of it. And here it says, you go and invite all people of any culture, any lifestyle, any language, any color, any sin that they may be living in. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that word whosoever is a wonderful word, that whosoever can be saved there. And so it's not about being bad or good, is it? But it's about, do you have on the garment? If you don't have the garment on, it doesn't matter. So they weren't denied because they were bad. They weren't admitted because they were good. They were admitted only if they had the garment, which is available to all. Also, we see something else about this garment at the wedding. It was available by invitation. Verse 3, it says, "He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden," that were invited. And then again in verse 9, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." And there's a principle that we learn here about coming to God. When a sinner comes to God, he doesn't come at his own timing. He doesn't come under his own terms. A person can only come to Christ when the Holy Spirit invites him, when the Holy Spirit works in the heart and convicts the heart there. And it's the Lord's work that he does that. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me," Jesus speaking, "no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's why it's so dangerous when a person is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and wanting to get saved, and he says no. He makes light of it, and he turns away from the Lord there. It's a dangerous thing. He can't just say, "Well, some convenient day I'll call for you," like Pilate did. Whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking, person needs to give his heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. We can't just assume that God's going to speak to me again, and I can't say, "I'm not going to get saved today, maybe next Sunday, maybe tomorrow. I got some things I got to get straight first." No, we only come to God when the Holy Spirit is inviting us, and that's one of the lessons we learn here. Also, another lesson we learn here, that this garment is available only by faith. In verse 8, it says, "They which were bidden were not worthy." They weren't worthy. What makes us worthy? Well, listen to a few verses, three verses I'll read. They're not on the screen here. Luke 21:36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." He says, pray that you will be counted worthy in Luke 21:36. Then in 2 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, "Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God." That you might be worthy. And one more verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness." So what makes us worthy? Do we get in because we're good? No, the bad we're invited to. What makes us worthy is having the right garment. We don't get into heaven unless we have the right garment. There is a dress code in order to get into heaven, and only those who have the right garment are going to get in. And it's available only by faith. Also, it's available for free. Verse 4, "I have prepared." He prepared the dinner. He prepared the oxen, the fatlings. He prepared everything. He prepared the garment. Now, we get invited to a wedding. I have a nephew that's getting married 2 weeks from now, and we'll be going to the wedding. We got the invitation, but I don't think they're going to send us the clothes that they want us to wear, you know? And so that's kind of unusual, isn't it? Well, here, God provides the garment there, and it's for free. God has done it all. We can either accept the garment that He gives us so that we can get into heaven, or we try to get in without it, and we see in this parable that it doesn't work. Also, in verse 11, the one who had not on a garment there, aren't you glad that it's a one-size-fits-all? The wedding garment that God provides is for salvation for anyone. It doesn't matter what nationality they are. God is a master tailor, isn't He? Boy, and He fits that garment for salvation for anyone. It's not an issue of what religion a person is or what denomination a person has. There's only one garment. And here was a man who didn't have the garment, and he was rejected there. But also we see in verse 13 that this garment qualifies us. How do we get worthy? How can we be qualified to enter into heaven? In verse 13 it says, cast him into outer darkness. In other words, there was a standard that God had, and that standard to get into heaven is holiness. The Bible says in Hebrews, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so without being righteous, we can't get to heaven. And there's none righteous, no, not one. So we're all in a terrible fix, aren't we? Until God, who is the King in this parable, He provides everything we need. He provides the feast. He provides the wedding garment. He provides the righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ in us by faith, because all the righteousness that we have, Isaiah tells us, are as filthy rags. That garment's not going to get you into heaven. Only the righteousness of Christ will do it, and that is the standard for getting into heaven. Well, let's look at the appearance of this garment. It wasn't a red tie, as I mentioned earlier, but this garment that they put on provides a change there. Whenever they came to the garment, everyone had the exact same garment, if they had one at all, because at the foot of the cross, everyone's equal. It doesn't matter if a person is a millionaire or a billionaire, or if he's as poor as can be. We all get to heaven the same way, through the grace of God. The garment is provided for us. We can't help God buy the garment. We can't help God fit the garment. God does it all. He provides that for us, and there's a change that takes place, because we used to be in our own clothes, our rags of sin. But God puts that garment on us, and there's a change. Remember the man possessed with demons in Luke chapter 5, where he was running around wild and cutting himself and naked and causing a scene. And Jesus came along, and Jesus saved him. And when He did, it tells us that the man was now seated and clothed and in his right mind. And God had completely changed him, all parts of his life. And here, salvation provides a change of clothing, from the rags of sin to the robes of righteousness of Christ. It's free. It's for us. It's available to all. And it also provides a covering there. And so people could put on this garment and it would cover them. What's underneath? What's underneath that garment? Is there a three-piece suit? Is there rags of sin? The book of Proverbs warns young men to be aware of those who have the attire of a harlot. Is that underneath the garment? What's underneath? You know the wonderful thing? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what was underneath, because God has covered all of those things. That's what the word atonement is. God has covered all of our sins when He provided that covering from Adam and Eve, and now He's provided the garment for salvation, and it doesn't matter what we used to be. Once we have received the righteousness of God through Christ, we have a new garment. We have new clothing. We have now been qualified to enter heaven, and we haven't done anything. He has provided everything for us. But then we come to the last part of the parable, and we see the absence of the garment. First thing the man does, he's confronted with the king. It wasn't his servants that made the invitation that meets him. It wasn't the son that meets him. It says the king came in to see the guest, and he, the king, saw a man that did not have on the wedding garment. And the king said to him, eye to eye, face to face, friend, how camest in hither not having a wedding garment? And here he is confronted with the king face to face. Do you know one day the Bible says that Jesus is coming again, and every person is going to have to give an account face to face to the King of Kings and give an answer. And it tells us here in verse 12 that he was speechless. He is guilty before the king. He can't stand there and say, it's not my size, that garment. I don't look good in white. Or I've got to go make some changes in my life first. I was going to come, but I had to do this. I was going to come, but, you know, I was too busy. They made light of it. And now they're guilty before the king. And notice what the king does in verse 13. The king expels him from heaven, expels him from the wedding feast. The king said, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. A God of love? Would a God of love cast someone into outer darkness? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the parable. A God of love provides everything. A God of love prepared the wedding. A God of love paid the price, paid the dowry. A God of love invited everyone, even the bad. He invited us all. He provided the garment. He has done everything because he's a God of love. And people are not sent to hell because God is not a God of love. People are sent to hell because they reject the garment that is available for all, and it's available for free. And as he's expelled by the king, we see three things here. We see their separation. That's the worst part of hell, being eternally separated from God, separated for all eternity, outer darkness. The Bible says Jesus is the light. And because they're not in the presence of Jesus, they're in darkness for all eternity. And then also it says here, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's sorrow. In heaven, the Bible says there's no more sorrow. God's going to wipe away all the tears. But in hell, there's continual sorrow, there's continual separation, and there's continual suffering. There's gnashing of teeth. Hell is a real, literal place where people without Christ die and spend eternity there. But they don't have to. The question this morning, are you dressed for the occasion? One day the Lord is coming back, and the only way that we're going to get into heaven is if we have accepted his invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you the garment. I will provide everything you need to get into heaven. You have to believe. You have to accept Christ by faith, and then he forgives. And it doesn't matter anymore what was under that garment, how many sins we committed. Christ has cleansed them all. He's given us a robe of righteousness that's Christ. And we get into heaven. The only way we qualify is because we get in under his merits. He's done it for us. And we've accepted what he has done on the cross because he died in our place for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God and him. Are you dressed for the occasion? The king is coming. He's going to send his son once again. Are you ready?